church doors are open, and if you're healthy enough to be in church, you ought to go. You ought to go. Wouldn't you like to be around God's people? I love this crowd. So in the book of Genesis, we have taught this before. There's four great events that take place in the first 11 chapters of Genesis: the creation, the fall, the flood, and the Tower of Babel. Obviously, God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. And then man sinned in Genesis chapter 3. And obviously, where that is known as the fall. And then after a while, we get to Genesis chapter 6. And Genesis chapter 6 is where we are this evening. And then after that is the Tower of Babel, where God changed the languages, divides up the people groups. They spread out across the earth. And that's where we get all our different languages, different skin colors, all of those things. You know, if you have questions about how life goes and things, they can be answered from a proper application of God's Word. And so those four foundational truths, the creation, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, if you know those things, life will make a whole lot more sense than billions of years and the slow process of evolving into what we are today, which is absolutely absurd. And it's interesting, if you read some of the scientific reports they recognize that things don't add up, but they refuse to admit that there might be a higher power out there. Because whatever you choose to be the authority in your life technically becomes your God. And if you choose science, then science is your God. If you choose pleasure, pleasure becomes your God. Whatever it is, you do have a God. You do have an idol. You do worship something. Whether they will admit it or not, even if they say there is no God, then they become God themselves. And you can see that clearly if you'll just apply the facts. So in Genesis chapter 6 is one of the things that I have noticed by way of introduction is that the Christian true believers, followers of Jesus Christ in the year 2024 is becoming a smaller group as a percentage than at any time in American history. And we are being singled out, those that want to speak the truth and stand for the truth. What's going on in our schools, the whole transgender movement, the doing away with male and female, all of those things that are going on is a direct assault on the Christian faith and what you and I believe, and really, it is just an absolute rebellion against God Almighty. In the process, what is taking place, Christian, is that you and I are being called on to take a stand, and that stand, as time goes on, will become more and more lonely process as believers die off, as Satan and his hordes make an all-out assault on what is going on. And, you know, if you obviously, as you read the last chapter of the book and we win, you know, before we win, there's going to be some battles that will be fought, and there's going to be some casualties that will take place. And how much of that you and I will personally see, we don't know. But I'm challenging you tonight, and Noah is going to be our example to go by, that we are called upon to stand regardless of the odds against us. And if you believe that, say amen. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to read some verses, and then we're going to pray, and we'll see how we do. But Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took to them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Don't miss verse 5. Very important. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this account in history of a man that found grace in your sight, severely outnumbered, just a handful of people that were continuing to follow in you, and yet here he is, and he was faithful. Lord, help us to apply the things that we see in your word this evening to our daily life and just walk the walk, talk the talk, and be obedient to what you've called us to do. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are with Noah and what is taking place, and you'll notice some key verses and principles that take place. God told Noah, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Noah said, why? Why, Lord? Why do we need to build an ark? What's an ark? Well, an ark is a big boat that's going to float in water when it rains. Well, Lord, what's rain? We've never had rain before. See, back in the times of Noah, it didn't rain like you and I know rain today. If you will, and I wasn't there, but it would appear that the earth had a giant vapor canopy surrounding it. So you wouldn't need to go to Hawaii to get to be nice weather. The same temperature in Hawaii was the same temperature in the Arctic. It was this vapor, this canopy over the whole earth, and there was, if you will, a climate set throughout the whole world that filtered the sun's harmful rays coming through that. We know that the ozone layer, well, there was more than the ozone layer going on at the time. There was this canopy that protected the whole earth. And in the process, the entire earth was this gigantic greenhouse that just things grew like crazy. Nothing like you and I have ever seen. And they could eat the food. You didn't need to be a meat eater, which seemed like quite a loss to me, but you didn't need a hamburger. Whatever plant you ate was so full of vitamins and minerals and all the good stuff that you needed that your body could, you could just, it was a buffet of pills, vitamins, anything that your body needed grew out of the ground, and it didn't need to rain. In the morning, there was this dew that came up from the ground, watered everything, and it was just unbelievably lush the way God set it up originally. But in that pampered environment, if you will, obviously sin existed. And you'll notice some things that were taking place from our text this evening as you look at this. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. Now, see, I think the trouble is with the women because daughters were born unto them. And that's where all the work with me here, guys. I didn't get any amens on that one because nobody dares to. So daughters were born unto them, and obviously just talking about families reproducing, and the men that were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. And there was a warning in verse number 3, don't ever forget, God said, my spirit will not always strive with men. Right there, God is saying, you don't get all the time you want to decide to come to me. I'm drawing a line, not in the sand, on the calendar. I'm drawing a line on the calendar in your life. I'm drawing a line on the calendar in the life of the people in Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to know there's going to be 120 years from this day right here. And when that time comes, it's going to be over. My spirit will not always strive with man. Say that with me. My spirit will not always strive with man. Let me warn you. Let me warn your friends. Let me warn those people that you are witnessing to and trying to share your faith with. We are not giving endless opportunities to accept the teachings of Jesus Christ. The only time you have is right now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. One of the things that Satan is so good at is letting you think that, don't worry, it's all true, it's all right, but you got plenty of time. You do not have plenty of time. We prayed for someone tonight. A believer in Jesus Christ, a wonderful young lady, stricken with an illness. And now she is intubated. She obviously, in that condition, we know, I'm not a doctor, but we know she has no idea what's going on in her life. She is incapable of making any more decisions, and of course, we're praying for her recovery. She knows Jesus, wonderful servant of the Lord. If she does not make it, she will go to be in the presence of our Savior. Great, how great is that? But we're praying for her recovery. She's a young lady, a newlywed, only married for a couple of months. You think, Lord, what are you doing? I have no idea. But it's a great example of there's no way she knew that was coming. And if she were lost in the condition that she's in, if she did not pull through, she can't choose Christ on a deathbed salvation. Right now, her opportunities are over. That happens. There's a chance this week, some of you here tonight, something could happen, and you won't be in church next Sunday. You'll be off into eternity. It happens. Every now and then, we're shocked by it. Well, we ought not to be shocked. My spirit will not always strive with man. You don't have endless opportunities. I've seen times where you think, okay, I'm a believer. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. Well, even those opportunities can diminish. Where physically, different things take place, and you can no longer serve the Lord with the ability that you have this evening. Don't take anything for granted in your Christian life. Thank God every day for the ability to pray for a loved one, to do the things that we get to do, to be in God's house. I know I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but you know, when the church doors are open, and if you're healthy enough to be in church, you ought to go. You ought to go. Wouldn't you like to be around God's people? I love this crowd. This is my crowd right here. Some people go to Walmart and say that's their crowd. Well, you go right ahead. I love that line. It says, when I die, I want to be buried at Walmart so my wife will come and see me, you know? So, but this is my crowd right here. People will say, oh, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Listen, there's hypocrites everywhere. I think there's some hypocrites in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you thought about that or not. They're everywhere. Now, you know what? I'd rather go to church with a bunch of hypocrites and know we're going to heaven. Now, you can say, well, Stan, that's pathetic. Yes, it is. Now, we ought not to be what we say we aren't. But on the other hand, this is my crowd. I love being around God's people. You become who you hang out with. You spend too much time with the world, you become like the world. I recommend hanging out with Christian people, followers of Jesus Christ, those that quote the book, live the book, pray, seek his face. There came a time in Genesis chapter 6 when that crowd of followers was gone. And we were down to one family, Noah. Well, we can see a little bit further. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What happened to the world that now there's nobody? Well, the Lord says in verse number 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Let's stop right there. We got the sons of God and the daughters of men. We won't talk about some of the teachings of that phrase, but what happens is we see it today. Our young people, they start dating. Let me tell you something, young person. If you're here tonight and you're thinking about the opposite sex, which would be absolutely normal, find a girl in church. Find a guy in church. You don't date someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ. Period. And what just torques me is that some of our young people, first class, we raise them, we pray for them, we burp them, we clothe them, we give them a car. And then the next thing you know, they go out and they start hanging out with a crowd that could care less about the Lord. And they go do some things that you did not see coming. And then they say, I want to get married. Remember Samson went down? Remember Samson? He'd run around and he'd find girls that were not believers. Samson was a judge called of God to be a leader of Israel. Guys, the wrong women ruined Samson and his ministry. It's true. He wasn't interested in, a Christian girl. He was interested in what the world had to offer. And so they come to us, will you marry us? Nope. One's lost, I'm not in that business. I won't do it. Every now and then, it happens. People come and say, oh, pastor, we just love this church, and will you marry us? And it's not, that conversation a lot of times doesn't go well. In the ministry, if you're considering the ministry, you don't get to do what you want to do. You do what God has called you to do. Adrian Rogers says it best. He said, God didn't call me to fill a church. He called me to fill a pulpit. And that's exactly right. There are so many times I would love to do certain things for people to like me. But the fact of the matter is that's not what the Bible teaches. And I can take them to chapter and verse. And I've shared with them why I will not perform a certain ceremony. And they leave and they never come back. And I think, there, I feel good about that. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. No, I hate that. I lose sleep over that stuff. It breaks my heart. And they go off, they do what they want to do. And I don't like to say I told you so, but more often than not, over a period of time, you see the fruits of those choices and the disasters that take place. You gain nothing. You lose everything when you walk outside of the fellowship of what God wants to bless. And that's what happened. Is the sons of God, the daughters of men, they started intermarrying and they started forgetting about the things of the Lord. And then you go on in verse number 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let's just stop for a second. Consider this. The average age of the American is up into the low 80s now, which is just, Dad's here tonight. How great is that? My dad's here, okay? Excited to see him. Dad's 87. That's up there. That's ancient, okay? Charlie Perkins is 90. Mildred Stalker is 90. You know, there's some people in this church that are up there. Consider that before the flood, the average age was 800 to 900 years old. You know, say, oh, that's not real. No, really. That's how, with the vapor canopy, the greenhouse living, the incredible diet that they were on, God provided so much for them. They just flat out lived a long time. Noah didn't have boys until he was 500. Just middle-aged, 500. Aren't you glad? I have joked many times, if I live to be 100, God does not love me, okay? I don't want to live to be that. I want to go to heaven. Let's just consider that you get to be 100 years old in this, which is rare. Well, let's just say you get to be 100 years old. That's roughly one-tenth of the life that they lived. Can we agree that we live in a sinful world? Can we agree that man's imagination in 2024 can really come up with some horrible things? How much more horrible do you think they could come up with if they could live 10 times longer? The thoughts of man was only evil continually, and I'm telling you, the evil they must have been able to imagine in 900 years of living would blow our minds. And that's what God was looking at in Genesis chapter 6. And God saw the wickedness of man. Verse number 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Ever been brokenhearted about something? God was about his creation. Now, God didn't say, I made a mistake, but he decided he was going to go in a different direction. And as God, he has the right to do that. The Lord said, I will destroy man, which I have created from off the face of the earth. In verse 7, both man and beast and creeping thing. In verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives, there was 8 people on the earth that stood for the Lord. 8 people. Aren't you glad we don't live in that time? But you know something? Perhaps at work, there's less than 8 where you work. Perhaps in school, there's less than 8 in school. Perhaps where you are the only one speaking for the truth. When someone comes in and wants to ask what your pronouns are, I wouldn't even answer that question. Ask me something intelligent. I thought we learned in third grade English what our pronouns were. This is bizarre. Sometimes you don't answer a fool according to their folly. If they're going to require me, and of course I've always worked for myself, or I've pastored this church, I've been able to pretty much control the environment that I work in. But if I'm in an environment where someone comes to me and says, what pronouns are we going to put on your name tag? I'd look at them and say, if that's required, just let me know, I'll put in my notice. Because my name's Stan Griffin. I was born a man, God made me a man, and I'm going to live hopefully to be an older man, but I am a man. And all of these other ridiculous things that society is trying to pin on us, Christian, you ought not to have any part of that conversation. And I know they can say, well, Stan, I might lose my job. I'm afraid we're coming to that time where that's going to be required. And somewhere I read in some crazy book somewhere that God promised to supply our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I just flat out believe God will take care of you. Sometimes you just need to stand. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did Noah find grace? Grace was that period. And grace is when someone awesome gives you attention that you do not deserve. Grace is a homeowner giving love to his dog. There's no comparison between the two. There's dogs and there's people. Now, I know we love our animals, don't get me wrong, but grace is the good treatment of a dog. Grace is giving it something it doesn't deserve. All dogs and cats are liberal Democrats. They are. They just expect that they deserve everything and they do absolutely nothing in return. And we are bad people if we don't give them what they want. Yeah, they do. They prey on your emotions. Now, I know this is going out, but anyway, yeah, just go ahead, write to me, Stan Griffin, 271 Griffin Road, Levant. Be sure to include the check, the cash, in the envelope. But those things, it's ridiculous. But grace is giving us what we do not deserve. Mercy. You'll notice in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God, 1 Peter 3:20, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is in 8 souls, were saved by water. God's long-suffering, his mercy, is probably taking place in the United States right now when we are not getting the judgment that we deserve for the 60 million babies that we abort. Bill Clinton years ago said we want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. He was lying. Now they want abortion to be right up until the time of delivery. In fact of the matter is, just after delivery if they decide against it. Somebody needs to be screaming about that. But what happens is we have self-silenced ourselves. Well, that won't be popular. I might lose a friend. You've got one individual in your life you need to please. Just one. And guys, I'm not talking about your wife. Ladies, I'm not talking about your husband. You've got one to please, and that's God Almighty. Amen. If you please the whole world and you don't please God, you died a failure. Amen. But if you please God and nobody likes you, believe me, that is success. Noah was pleasing to his God. Noah, verse number 9, and Noah walked with God. And he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God. So obviously, Noah built an ark. They two by two came in, unclean, seven clean. They populated that thing. They got it all ready to go 120 years later. There was a window in the ark. Sounds like there was three stories. I've got some information on the ark. I'll just throw it to you what an incredible structure it was. And, of course, now there's one built in the country here that you can go and see it. But I had in my notes, and if you'll just allow me just a second, right there. The ark was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, 95,700 square feet. How big's your house? 95,700 square feet over three decks. Its carrying capacity equaled 522 railroad cars. No wonder it took him 120 years to build it. Its carrying capacity equaled 522 railroad cars, which could hold 125,000 sheep. There was some room in that baby. The ark is a picture of Christ. There's plenty of room. You just got to believe to enter in. There was one door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a way. He's not a truth. There's only one truth, Jesus Christ. I'm afraid, Christian, that we've started apologizing for that. I'm afraid it seems so narrow when someone says, do you believe that Jesus is the only way? Yeah, fact is I do. I don't believe there's any other way. It's not the church. It's not your giving. It's not your associations with anything. It is just believing in Jesus Christ and nothing else. He is the only way. If there was some other way, then I believe that God would not have required his son to die on a cross. There's the only way. The ark was the only way for those people to be saved. Noah preached for 120 years. I believe that God miraculously protected him. This was a wicked, evil society. You don't think there wasn't any murders and killings and rapes and pillaging and all of those things? Anything that you can imagine that you see today was probably even worse back then. Noah is standing for righteousness. He said, God's going to judge you folks. Don't you think that some people would have liked to take a shot at him, killed him, shot up the messenger? You bet. I believe God protected him. I think for 120 years, there was people that would not only didn't like him, hated him, hoped he'd drop dead, and probably tried to help in the process, but God was protecting his man. 120 years later, it's all done. The invitation was given to anyone that would listen. Come into the ark. No one. No one. Remember the time when Abraham was Sodom and Gomorrah? And he was saying, God, would you wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah for 50, 40, 30? He got down to 10. You know why he didn't ask for less than 10? Because he knew the number was 8 that God wiped out the whole earth on. And so he got down to 10. I want you to know there'll come a time when God's going to look around and he say, okay, time's up. We're all through. He's going to call his church home. The tribulation will take place. And if you have rejected Jesus Christ in this time before the rapture of the church, you say, well, I'll wait. If the rapture takes place, I'll know it's real and I'll believe then. No, you won't. If you don't believe now, you won't believe then. The Bible's very clear on that. And the horror that must have taken place when those first few raindrops started to fall. And the earthquakes and the fountains of the deep broke up. And the tsunamis that came in. We're not just talking rain from above. We're talking water from below. We're talking violent earthquakes and shaking and mud. And they're saying that in many cases, yes, some drowned, but some would have been killed instantly in the violence of all that took place when God finally closed the door and the water started coming. And I think every now and then it would behoove us. I like the word behoove. It's a good spiritual word. It's good. It would behoove us to consider a holy God in righteous judgment against those that have mocked him. And I'm afraid today in our day and age, we're so big on love and grace and mercy. And let's all just have a big hug and sing kumbaya because Jesus loves you. Well, every now and then we ought to take some time and think about a righteous, holy God in judgment who will not always wait, will not always say it's okay. Every now and then he'll let the hammer down. I believe every now and then God still strikes people dead. I believe the president of Iran that died in a helicopter crash, I believe that God struck him dead. You don't throw 300 missiles at God's people and have no consequences for that. They couldn't figure out what happened to that helicopter. Well, I can help you out on that. Yeah. I believe God took him out. And don't you think for a second that holy, righteous God, as we mock his son and we thumb our nose at male and female and we come up with every evil imagination that we can think of to find pleasure in this life and we try to do away with God in every facet of society, let me tell you something, Christian, judgment is coming. And it may have started already. And it's up to you and I to make up our mind. Are we going to stand for God's word and what we know to be true? Or are we just going to look for some other way? Well, I got a question for you that I've asked before. And I'll ask it again tonight. Who's got a better offer? Who else can you talk to that'll always listen? Who else can forgive sins? Who else promises you a home in heaven? Who else says he'll never leave you or forsake you? I don't have anybody in my life other than God Almighty that I am absolutely positive will never leave me. No offense to my wife and kids, but they have no control over God's plan for their life other than he's a loving God. But you and I have seen people taken out of this world that didn't want to go. But God took them. And they're with him. The only one that will never leave you is Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in him, who's got a better offer? Christian, make up your mind. You will stand for truth no matter what the odds are, because the odds have always been against us, and I'm afraid the odds are going to get worse. But my God reigns.